Popeye the Sailor Man? Anybody? Popeye, okay. Some of us are familiar with Popeye the Sailor Man. You might be familiar with his fried chicken. Some of you have probably eaten Popeye's fried chicken. But Popeye the Sailor Man, he was a famous cartoon. And when I was growing up, he would have a cartoon on TV. And Popeye's nemesis was Bluto, right? Bluto was this guy who had a beard, and he was big and strong. And they had a mutual love interest. Her name was Olive Oil. Olive Oil. And so they were always trying to vie for the affections of Olive Oil. But what would happen is that there would be some conflict in the story. And in order to resolve or solve the conflict, Popeye would take a can of spinach, and then he would open it, and then he would eat the spinach, sometimes through his pipe. You know, he kind of smoked and all. And then after he ate the spinach, he would get this superhuman strength. He would get these bulging biceps, you know, these muscles all over his body, which would then enable him to go and solve whatever problem the storyline was facing him. So Popeye had great superhuman strength. Now, here in our English worship service, we've been going back to the basics, and we've been trying to understand how we can not have physical strength, but how we can have spiritual strength to help a new babe, a new person in Christ, to grow up to be strong and healthy and godly and mature. Last week, we talked about what we can do as we deal with sin, and how we can confess our sins. And we ended last week with a hook of asking, where can we receive power to overcome sin? And that's what we want to focus on this morning as we continue to think about how we can help a new person to grow up to be strong and healthy in Christ. But not only that, in the process, how can we strengthen our own foundations in the faith at the same time? Do you yourself wish that you had a power to overcome sin? Maybe in this last week you've faced some temptations, some struggles at home or at school, at work, in your relationships. Maybe there's a habit that you just can't seem to knock off. Where can we receive power to have victory over sin? And how can we access that power? That's what we want to look at this morning. And I want us to start to look as we look in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And again, we're going to be going through a variety of verses this morning. Don't worry, we are an expositional church. We will be getting back in a few weeks to going through the books of the Bible verse by verse. But we're taking a little break from that now. And so let's start off by looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. And here, picking up the narrative, we see that a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And so as we ask this morning, where do we receive power to overcome sin? Our answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our power. It's not spinach, right? It's the Holy Spirit. And as we understand that this is the Holy Spirit, we want to understand a little bit more of who the Holy Spirit is. And so the first question we have is who is the Holy Spirit? And we see here that in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay? Right here in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Luke is recording Peter's quote to Ananias in saying that Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And then in verse 4, he tells us that you have not lied to man, but to God. And so we're equating lying to the Holy Spirit with lying to God. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, one God expressed in three persons. And we see this throughout all of Scripture. We see this in the baptismal formula in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, right? What are we to baptize people in? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We see in 2 Corinthians 3, now the Lord is the Spirit. And so there are clear indications in the Scriptures that who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Now, we know who the Holy Spirit is. Who has the Holy Spirit? Who has the Holy Spirit? And for this, we want to look at John chapter 14. If you want to turn to John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, and it tells us there, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So John has recorded this discourse of Jesus, and he's telling his disciples that the Holy Spirit will be in them, will be with them and be in them. Now you say, oh, well, that was only for the original 12, the apostles, the original 12 disciples. But we see all throughout Scripture that this not only applies to Peter, James, John, but to any, all Christians. And we can look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9 for that. Romans 8 tells 9 tells us, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." So, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Jesus. Conversely, if you belong to Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, dwelling within you. All right, now, when do we receive the Holy Spirit? When do we receive the Holy Spirit? We've actually been through this before. Anybody? You know, we're going to take finals pretty soon, all right? Anybody know when we receive the Holy Spirit? For this, we want to look at Ephesians 1, 13, 14. If you will remember, repetition is the mother of boredom, but the father of learning. Right? So we're going to keep repeating it. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And that tells us, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So do you see the sequence? What happens? You heard the word of truth, the gospel. You believed. And then what happens? You are sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit. So when do we receive the Holy Spirit? The moment that we believe in Jesus. So friends, we need to pause and stop for a minute and just appreciate and thank God for what we have, this power that we have. We really need to think and thank God and meditate on that for just a little bit. And if you could just imagine, you know, some radioactive material like uranium, and it just came inside of you. What would that be like to have uranium living inside of you? That would be incredible. Or, you know, there's some movie that just came out yesterday about some, you know, Infinity Stones, or you know, what if, you know, that little core from Iron Man, you know, came into you, and you got that Iron Man core, or that Infinity Stone on Vision, you know? I think he's got one of the I'm giving away some of the plot. I think he got one of those Infinity Stones. Man, what if that stone came inside of you? What kind of superhuman power would you have? Well, friends, think about it. The God of the universe living inside of you. God lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit. More powerful than your enemy. More powerful than Iron Man's core. More powerful than Vision's Infinity Stone. And we need to stop and think and thank God and appreciate that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. So friends, thank God. Thank Him right now. Thank Him right now that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You know, I asked Angie before, Angie, what's the first thing you do in the morning? I don't know what she does. Comb her hair, use the bathroom, you know, whatever, wash your face. Why not? First thing you do in the morning, thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Thank Him for eternal life. Thank Him that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So, friends, we need to pause for just a moment and thank God for what He's given to us, the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit, how does He relate to the believer? How does the Holy Spirit relate to the believer, once He's in our lives, sealed us for all of eternity? That's what we want to look at next. And for that, we want to turn to John. We're going to go back to John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. And John 14, 26 tells us, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So, the Holy Spirit, He teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Do you have some confusion about some decision you're making? Maybe it's a class, maybe it's something related to work. Maybe it's whether or not you should be involved in a particular relationship. Well, praise God, you don't have to figure it all out on your own. But God has given us the Holy Spirit who can take the Word of God and teach us. Now, again, this was definitely talking to the original 12, that God would bring back to their remembrance all that Jesus had spoken to them so that then they could report to others who would write Scripture, but it also applies to us. So praise God, we have the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to teach us. What else? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And what does it say? Some of you may have this memorized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character in us. Do you need a little patience with that family member? Do you need a little kindness for that co-worker, for that relative, for that neighbor? Praise God, you don't have to produce it, churn it up on your own, but God has given us the Holy Spirit who will produce that within us. Praise God. I saw a lot of love. I saw a lot of kindness this last week as one of our sisters had to leave town in an emergency. And the kind of outpouring of love and kindness that I saw was a testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. What else? We also look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You guys know that from memory? And you will what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Right? So, power for evangelism. We've been talking about this for the last 3 months. We're not going to elaborate on this anymore, but you have difficulty witnessing for Jesus to your classmates, to your co-workers, to your neighbors? Praise the Lord. You don't have to rely on your own strength. God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit. And lastly, John 16:8. John 16:8, again, going back to John, who talks so much about the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 tells us, "And when He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So, you have that friend. He doesn't seem like he has much of a need. He thinks his life is great, no problems. Doesn't see his need for God or Christ. Praise the Lord. It's not your job to convince him that he has a sin problem. The Holy Spirit convicts the world, the unbeliever, that they have a sin problem. They have a need for Christ. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Who has the Holy Spirit? Anyone who has believed that Jesus has died on the cross and risen again for their sins has the Holy Spirit. When do they receive the Holy Spirit? The moment that they believe in Jesus. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches us, produces Christ-like character, gives us power for evangelism, and convicts the world of sin. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work in the life of the believer? Or how can we receive this enablement that the Holy Spirit offers? I want to share two phrases that I learned even before I went to seminary, and I haven't been able to improve upon it, even having gone through seminary. And here it is: yieldedness and dependence. If I had to summarize the Spirit-filled life, I would use these two terms: being yielded and being dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, for being filled with the Spirit, we like to go to Ephesians 5:18, which tells us, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on to elaborate either the results or some connection to being filled with the Spirit in the rest of the passage. And so as we think about being yielded, first focusing on being yielded to the Spirit, we want to think about yielding every area of our life to God, to His Lordship, to the control, and to the presence of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And as we think about being yielded, I want us to think about two areas. And the first area is in the area of our affections, or our hearts. Because if you look at that passage in Ephesians 5, it says, you know, don't get drunk with wine, don't be controlled by alcohol, right, or get drunk, but be controlled, be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to God, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus to God the Father. So as we give our affections to God, we are filled with His Spirit. And there's a connection with our affections and singing and giving thanks. So that's why we did what we just did. We sang to one another and to the Lord as we build our affections towards God. And so I want to encourage us to keep doing that in focus, in worship service, in your family devotionals, to sing to one another. And later on it says, give thanks. Eve shared a very great testimony on Friday night to always give thanks in everything. Thank you, sister, for sharing that with us. And as you thank God for all that He's done, then your affections, your heart grows towards God instead of towards, you know, this soap opera or that sports team or this grade or this career, right? Our affections grow towards God. So filled with the Spirit as we yield our hearts, our lives to God. So keep singing. So do you love your Jesus deep down in your heart? That's right. Sing it. Deep down in my heart, deep, deep, whoa, deep down, down, deep down in my heart, I love my Jesus, deep, deep, whoa, deep down, down, deep down in my heart. Will, do you love your Jesus deep down in your heart? Oh, come on, brother, give it to me. Yes, I love my Jesus. Right? All right. Well, you get the point. Thank you, Brother Will. But we want to keep doing that to build up our affections and praise and worship and yield our hearts to God and give thanks. Give thanks in all things. Try to give thanks in the morning when you're waking up, you're grumpy, whatever. Give thanks, okay? Now, so that is being yielded. And if you'll remember, you know, being yielded, it's not so much how much we have of the Spirit. Okay, you have all of the Spirit in you. It's not like, oh, only part of the Holy Spirit is in your life. It's not how much we have of the Spirit, but how much the Spirit has us. In fact, we know that He is resident. The question is He president? All right? And so we think of, you know, we got our chocolate milk. We got our milk. And when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Okay? But if we don't yield our dating life, our marital life, our family life, our entertainment life, our work life, our school life, if we just keep that all to ourselves, we don't let the Holy Spirit into that, it's not going to do any good. What we need to do, we need to stir it up. We need to stir it up and let the Holy Spirit fill every area of our lives, control every area of our lives, and And then the chocolate milk will fill us. So in our affections, but also in our relationships, we need to let the Holy Spirit fill every relationship. And the rest of Ephesians, he talks about how husbands are supposed to relate to their wives and wives to their husbands and parents to children and children to parents and employers to employees. Do you need some help? Do you need to yield how you're communicating in all these critical relationships? Yield that to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit. Now, the second area is being dependent. And for this, we just need to go back to all those areas that the Holy Spirit does in us. We can't do it on our own. We don't know what is right and wrong on our own. We can't have patience on our own. We can't witness to our friends on our own. We need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for all of these power and strength in our lives. And you can think of it as the Holy Spirit is kind of like our crutch that we can't walk on our own. But the Holy Spirit, as we have this attitude of dependence, and He gives us the power as we are dependent upon Him. So you're wondering again, how can you teach that Sunday school class? How can you lead that Bible study group? We can't do it on our own power, but if we even go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that the power comes through the Holy Spirit. So, friends, let us be yielded and be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, as we're finishing our time with our new babe in Christ, we want to give them some application. And we want to, last week we told them to write out their sin list and to keep short accounts with God, to practice spiritual breathing. This week, as we leave them, we want to encourage them to read the first three chapters of the book of John. Okay, maybe we ourselves need to do our own Bible reading too, right? I know we have difficulties with that. But that's what we want to leave them with. And as we transition to the next time we meet with them, we want to ask them, do you ever wonder what is the will of God? What is the right thing to do? How can you relate to your spouse, to your family members, to your classmates in the way that pleases God? What pleases Him? What displeases Him? And friend, next week we'll talk about that as we talk about the Word of God. And so that's our hook to the next week. Going through what we've been through today, friends, we have talked about where the power for spiritual victory comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit, who is God, whom every believer has at the moment that they believe in Jesus, that the Holy Spirit teaches us, produces Christ-like character, gives us the power for evangelism, convicts the world of sin, and that as we yield and depend on Him, we gain that power in our lives. And we want to encourage the person to start reading the book of John and tell him that the next time we get together, that we will talk about the Word of God so we can know how and what pleases God. So my son has this Lego cartoon book, and it's a Star Wars Lego cartoon book, and it talks about battles between key Star Wars characters. And so, you know, you got this guy against that guy, this guy against that guy. And on the cover, it's saying, oh, who would win if Yoda battled Darth Vader? And so, you know, they both got their lightsabers up there, and and they're trying to do battle with one another. Now, we know that the power for victory in the Star Wars universe is not based on size or physical strength, because then, you know, Yoda, he's pretty short and he's small, and he wouldn't be able to defeat Darth Vader. But we know that the power comes from what? It comes from the Force. Okay, now, don't get worried. Pastor Wei is not endorsing Force theology, okay? But there is some truth to this. You know, the Force is impersonal. God, the Holy Spirit is personal. All those things, don't worry about it. But the truth is still there, that there is no way that short little Yoda can defeat big old Darth Vader on his own strength and his own power, but he has to yield all of his being, everything that he has, to the Force. And as he relies on the Force, he can smash through Darth Vader and defeat him. Well, friends, we are in a spiritual battle. And there's no way on our own strength and our own power that we can overcome and defeat sin. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill up our whole being, and as we depend upon Him, we can have victory over sin. We can live a godly, obedient Christian life. So be yielded to the Spirit. Depend on Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit that You have given to us. We thank You so much for this incredible treasure, which is just a deposit of even greater things to come. And so we thank You, we praise You. Help us to rely, to depend on the Holy Spirit moment by moment, and to be yielded to Him. We pray in Jesus' name.